Hi, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to another edition of our Ask the Experts weekend here on 104.5 WOKV. And this show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to the most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of the world's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete, the job guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete.
Hard workers of the world, you did it. You made a great decision today, and I want to congratulate you. And that decision is listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, a show dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. You know, typically, I give you tips to help you to be more effective and productive in your jobs, but I'm throwing that out the window. Today, selfishly, I'm going to talk about something with my guest, something that I freaking love. Now, unless you're an ostrich and you've had your head in the sand for the last few years, if you have been that ostrich, you've never heard of UFC. You've never heard of mixed martial arts. But you know what? I know the listeners of the show know all about UFC. And you know something about mixed martial arts. Today, this show is dedicated to that. I'm not going to talk about work and all these other great things. And my guest today is none other than returning guest Charlie Jimerson. Woo! Welcome to Hard Work with Pete the Job Guy, Charlie.
Pete the Job Sensei. Pete the Job Dojo Master. Pete the Job Grappler. Pete the Recruiting Precision Striker. How the hell are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I love MMA. And you and I could talk about it all day long. We exchange texts, Twitters, pre-fight, post-fight. Who's doing this? Who's doing that? You commentate on another show, too. And I know you even when nobody else would have a fight here in the United States because of COVID, Jacksonville, Florida stepped up and held that event. And you were sitting there right in the press box, weren't you?
Pete, you need to stop sending me pictures of you in a wrestling singlet. It's getting a little old. But other than that, I'm enjoying our interactions on it. And yes, I was there when COVID struck, and I was covering it as credentialed MMA media, Pete.
I don't know how you pull that crap off, but you do. A lawyer by day and an MMA commentator at night, huh?
My job is persuasion, and somehow I talk somebody into letting me have those credentials and covered it like I really knew what I was talking about.
Do you remember back in the day when this little thing called UFC started? Ultimate Fighting Championship comes out, and it was this weird tournament with different representatives of all disciplines. You might have a wrestler, a boxer, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist, a Muay Thai specialist, a French savate specialist, and all these different things. And you got to see some things early on, like I did. Back then, folks, there weren't weight classes. They just lumped a bunch of dudes together.
There weren't many rules either.
There weren't many rules. I think they were eye gouging then, and there were groin strikes and kicking on the ground.
Yeah,
there was a lot.
The whole nine yards. It was human cockfighting.
One of the things I think I learned early on in that, and as a wrestler, I was happy to see, if you couldn't grapple, you had no business being in an octagon. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, the old adage in the fight game is every fight, whether you're fighting in an octagon or you're fighting in a ballroom or a backyard or an alleyway, mm-hmm. every fight's going to go to the ground. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what are you going to do once you're on the ground?
That's it, unless you get the sucker punch or this big KO. But 9 times out of 10, you'll get a brushing glance. And you watch boxers, punch, punch, clinch. There's mm-hmm. so much clinching. You couldn't get away from the grappling, but boy, did the early on, the wrestlers, Mark the Hammer, Dan Severn, you know, and some of those guys, standouts. Who were your guys early on?
Early on, wow. I mean, it's Hoist Gracie was incredible. I mean, that opened my eyes. I mean, I was a precocious young Turk then at this point in time. You know, I was knee deep in my own fight game on the, in the mean streets of Southwest Florida.
Right.
I was a kid who was rumbling around the neighborhood.
Even joined
the local boxing club, mixed it up, threw some hands. But it blew my mind that a 160-pound guy could beat these yoked 250-pound Adonises, or even, you know, the ultra heavyweights. You know, Hoist Gracie would get in there and he would be able to take a punch. He would be able to avoid real damage. He would be able to get on the ground, and once he was on the ground, he would do something. You know, he took a ground game. He wasn't a ground and pounder. He was a submission artist,
right?
And that really opened my eyes for the first time to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
So that was a real influencer. I wish I would say that I'd taken jiu-jitsu and ran with it. But when I think of those early days, that's who I think of.
You know what's interesting? As a wrestler, who's tussled quite a bit in my day, my objective was to take you to the ground. Take you to the ground so you're facing up, counting the lights. You know, that's what we'd say, hey, man, you're going to be counting lights in a minute because you're laying on your back. And then you fight somebody who wants you to take them on their back in their guard position, they call it. That's where they're most comfortable, and they're in control in what's normally your normal control position. It was mind blown right there. Hoist Gracie went around making all those underground tapes too. Did you ever see some of those early on ones where he said, I will fight anybody, anywhere, any discipline, any weight class, doesn't matter, and I will beat you. And he went, flew everywhere with a crew that filmed him. Doggone if he didn't win every single one of those to prove that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is the number one discipline, I think.
The and one mixtape tour of combat sports. So you were Pete the Leg Humper on the wrestling circuit.
That was it. Now listen, I wrestlers get a bad rap. We wear singlets, and you know some of these moves look a little suggestive, whatever. But it is a great discipline. My only problem with wrestling was the weight cuts. For a tall, skinny kid to get skinnier and skinnier, it was like, hey, at some point.
What was your weight cut routine? I mean, what was your protocols?
Well, let me just tell you. At my lowest weight, in 10th grade, I got to be just about 6 feet tall, maybe about 5'11 in 10th grade, still growing a little bit, and I cut all the way to 119.
How were you 3 inches taller than you are now?
What? Hey, look, I don't always stand up straight. Hello. Oh, hey. But I got down to 119 at 6 feet. That's not a good look. For me, it wasn't anyway. So I needed to gain some weight.
119.
That's not. So let's talk right here. Let's get into some of this. UFC 273 is coming to Jacksonville. This is a loaded card. It's got some great fighters. Tell us a little bit about, like, what are a couple fights that stand out to you and why?
Well, at the top of the card, it's a great card. It's very diverse. Mm-hmm. Early prelims, the top of the card. Top of the card, you got two title fights, and then you've got what's essentially a title eliminator. You've probably got, there's something like 14, 16 ranked fighters, several other really big prospects.
This is a big one.
It's great. I mean, you've got, Alexander Volkanovsky, who's a very underrated champion. I mean, this is a guy who hasn't lost in over 3,000 days, Pete.
Wow.
Won 20 straight fights. I mean,
that's a streak and a half. He's fighting the zombie, right?
Fighting the zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got,
I love his fights too. Korean Zombie he's a show. A lot of times he's a show.
You don't earn the nickname Korean Zombie by doing anything less than like chewing someone's face off.
Right, right.
So the zombie's gonna bring it. I mean, he's just mindless. He'll move forward and he's gonna have an action-packed fight.
Awesome.
So I love it. So Zombie was a fill-in for Max Holloway. Was supposed to have that fight, which would have been a trilogy fight for Volkanovski and Holloway. Holloway had lost both of them, so it's the rare opportunity just for someone to get a third fight, but Max pulled out with an injury. Below that, you got a bantamweight fight with Aljamain Sterling and Peter Yan, and mm-hmm. And that's a rematch of where Yan gave up the title because he got disqualified. Very controversial fight when those two fought.
Who's going to win that?
I think Jan smokes him. If you go back and look at the earlier fight between them, Jan was in control the whole time. Jan's a more well-rounded fighter. Mm-hmm. They're both really great fighters. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from Sterling. I just think that Jan has the potential to be one of the best ever in that division. Mm-hmm. He's already got some stats and metrics which would prove that. But
wait. That music right there tells us it's time to play Lightning Round. You have to stop right now and answer these questions to the best of your ability, Charlie Jimerson. How many minutes do you think you could last running around a cage before you got caught and knocked the heck out?
Less than one. Yeah. Yeah. What do you got? How long you? You're a grappler. You might be able to get.
I'm a grappler, and I haven't done striking and grappling, but I have gone to dojos and gone all disciplines and rolled. I've gone against the judokans, state champion high school wrestler that was 220 when I was less. Now I'm 220 again. It's sadly tough to report. But I never got, you know, I did actually. I did tap one time when a guy, this is funny, the judokan guy, big dude, got him on his back face down. I put a leg lock, but I did it at my ankles, not high up by the knee. I did it at my ankles, and I'm locking in a choke, rear naked, and I'm like, oh, he's going to tap. But, yeah, you know, I can demonstrate to you. The listeners can't see it.
I think Josh wants to show us that, yeah.
because my ankles were together, he just sat there letting me choke in him, and then he grabbed my top foot. And just started pulling down. And out of nowhere, I'm like, he's going to tap. And then I went,
Oh, man.
I tap. He said, listen, I've been doing this for at least 15 years. He goes, nobody's going to choke me out. I'm just telling you. He said, so I baited you all the time. And you told me you were a grappler, so I knew what you're going to do. And he said, I was just waiting for you to leave something while you're trying to choke me. And you left some real nice breadcrumbs that I just followed in.
Well, you know, you never see it coming with a lot of those submission artists.
All right, lightning round. Fighter you'd be scared to death to fight.
Francis Ngannou.
I wrote it down too, because I wrote this question and I wrote Francis Ngannou.
He's terrifying.
He'll take your head off.
Yeah, I mean, if you harken back to that fight here in Jacksonville when he fought Jazir Rozenstruik, basically just charged across the ring and Rozenstruik, who was an unbelievable Muay Thai kickboxer type of champion. He's got multiple championships and a lot of different promotions. Ngannou put him out in, like, I don't know, 45 seconds, a minute. I mean, it was brutal. I was there. It was an empty arena, and the thunder that he was bringing with those punches, it was so different when it's there and it was empty. I mean, these are some of the loudest flesh-hitting flesh things that I've ever heard. I've never heard anything like it, quite frankly.
I've always loved this guy right from the first time we saw him. He looks like a freak of nature. He's built like incredibly.
Yeah.
But he hits so hard. There's no recovery from that.
No.
All right, let's go back to the card. Yep. I got more lightning round questions. We'll come back to those.
Love
let's
it.
Go back to the card. Who's next?
I wanted to kind of talk about, you know, Volkanovski. I mean, I think that Volkanovski, he's at the top of the card, so he's going to get a lot of love. He's the type of guy, like I said, he's 5'6", and the guy hasn't lost for 3,000 days. One thing that's interesting to him, he's 5'6", 145-er, but I don't know if you knew this, but Volkanovski used to be a rugby player, and at one point in time was over 200 pounds. So he's a guy who cuts down to 145, and he's done it without necessarily losing any type of power. He's ultimately a well-diversified skill set, so he can grapple, he can wrestle, he's got a mean overhead right, but what he has is power that these 145ers just cannot keep up with.
Is he taking down the zombie?
Oh yeah, the zombie has been served up as a the zombie's no tomato can,
but no doubt
the zombie has been served up as a placeholder until the next real challenger comes through.
Very good.
Yeah.
So Volkanovski is somebody we got to watch out for. What's his career like from here? The trajectory.
I would love to see Volkanovski be able to go up and fight the 155 champion. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that he'll have an opportunity to fight some 145ers. You've got like a guy like Arnold Allen, who's up and coming. It's been a while since I familiarized myself with the rankings, but you've got Max still lingering around, who wants the trilogy. You've got Brian Ortega, who's not going around anywhere. And you've just got some up-and-comers in that division, but Volk has cleaned him out. You know, so it's
already beat him.
It's what do you do? Yeah. What do you do once? This is the type of time where you've got a dominant champion who's cleaned out a division, and they start doing little gimmicks to try to get the big money fights, and then they start to get sideways with the UFC. I mean, that's what Francis is doing. Francis is stuck on the sidelines because he can't fulfill his contract because he doesn't want to fight for what the UFC is offering him. And so Volk is going to find himself in that position because he's been so dominant of a champion. But, you know, the guy that I'm looking forward to, Pete, the fight that I'm looking forward to is Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat Chimaev. I mean, that's my guy. I mean, that's the moment a lot of people, this is the moment here in Jacksonville that a lot of people have been waiting for. It's Chimaev's time. He is a guy who's fought four times in the UFC so far over the past 2 years, and he's won every bout by finish, barely taken any damage. He's only been hit, check this out, he has only been hit with two significant strikes in four UFC bouts. Two.
That's amazing.
Two.
That's an amazing stat right there.
I only hit twice.
I mean, you're fighting against professional fighters that are trained to strike and take your head off, to come in, to know how to, you know, fade and all this stuff. They know what they're doing. And for him to just evade completely and not get hit, it's amazing.
He has everything that it takes. I think that this is his moment in time. You know, you can point at various UFC fighters over time where they've had their coming of age fight. This is where they just leaped onto the landscape and they, you know, became a household name after that, at least in the MMA circles. This is Khamzat Chimaev's moment here in Jacksonville.
Unbelievable. Hey, just a kind of like a side question. It is a great card. Is this like a gift to Jacksonville to have such a stacked card because we were able to do a show that nobody else wanted? Do you think? Or they just have a lot of great fighters right now?
No, I think Dana White has proven time and time again that if you do business with him and you're good to him, then he'll reciprocate. And so Jacksonville, to the great credit to the city and its leaders, who I'm often critical of, but they stepped up. And when the pandemic hit, they hosted the very first ever live event. You know, there wasn't an audience, but there was live sports at a time when the country needed a lot of healing. And we had three fight cards, and it was closed to everybody, but we put it out on TV, and it galvanized the country, and it gave a MMA and UFC unique exposure that the company and the fight game had not had in a long time. And Dana White rewarded us with an amazing card last year, card of the year. I was at that one. That was incredible. And then this one is so far the best card that we've had in 2022.
Outstanding. Yeah. You know, what I think, I remember that fight. And of course, I buy all the pay-per-view ones and I have to watch it because I'm addicted and I just love the sport. It's a smart man's game, smart ladies' game too. It's a smart person's game to play it. You need to know a lot and be so disciplined to participate, no doubt. But at a time where, there were no sports. We needed our sports. This is America. I mean, we need sports. We like to watch it. And everything you see on the TV was gloom and doom and more stuff shutting down. We have a professional sporting event, an international level that was fantastic done here. And they were able to pull it off safely and do it in a manner that everybody loved it. Everybody watched the fight, loved the fights. But it just did something for America. I really do. I think it really kind of was a pivotal moment when that whole COVID first thing was happening and we couldn't seem to break out of it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Everybody has their own COVID memories and stories, but the UFC's cards, three cards in 8 days, will be something that's forever etched in my mind. You know, it was, I use the word healing because it was like a healing moment for us.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of uncertainty and everybody's trying to figure things out. You're figuring things out with your personal life, with work, whatever. Right. You know, you're a little bit fractured. Somebody moved our cheese, you know,
right.
we couldn't plan for that. And it was some semblance of a return to normalcy for the sporting groups, you know, and it just was symbolic in my mind, very metaphorical in the sense that everybody's fighting their own fight, and now let's watch some literal fights.
Right. Hey, a lot of funny nicknames out there for fighters. What's the all-time funniest nickname for a fighter that you've seen?
Yeah. I am partial to the Gingers.
Go ahead.
And so, yeah, there's a guy named Rick the Ginger with the intent to injure fighter.
Love it.
And then there's Spike, the Alpha Ginger Carlisle. Those are all timers. I mean, those crack me up.
You know, I got a guy. I don't know if you remember this guy. He's early on. And I think I know why his nickname was. His nickname was Cabbage. His name is just Cabbage.
Was
okay?
He a country boy?
No, he was a guy.
Was that his first name or his nickname?
It was something Cabbage this, okay? Mm. And I got to think he was a great big guy, but his head was bigger than a house cat. It was like his big old head of cabbage, and I have to think that's why his name was Cabbage. But I thought that like, usually you want razor this or tough guy that.
Right, the axe murderer.
Yeah, an axe murderer. And instead, we get Cabbage. Oh, my God, Cabbage is coming after me. Give me some mayonnaise. I'm going to make some slaw.
Well, there's an Irish fighter who has a handlebar mustache named Ian McCall, and his nickname is Uncle Creepy. Or there's the guy with the Caucasian Afro, Luis Pena, who goes by the handle Violent Bob Ross. That's a good one.
I love some of the nicknames. They're all great. And we're going to continue talking about MMA and UFC 273 that's coming up here, right here in Jacksonville. We're excited about an incredible card. But that music right now tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on 104.5 WOKV.
You're listening to Hard Worker. Pete the Job Guy. And 1.5 WKV.
Do the hustle! Welcome back, all you hard workers. That is my favorite part of the whole show, when Josh's daughter, Adeline, welcomes us back from the break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. It is the cutest thing, and I love it, and I thank her every week. And we're so glad that she's a part of the show. That's Adeline McCarthy. Josh's daughter. Josh McCarthy is our very famous producer. You know, Josh is slumming. He's on a nationally syndicated show, and I'm just, you know, he's over here doing a weekend show because it's something we've done for about 4 years, and I'm just pleased as punch. He's slumming and hanging around with us, making this show great each and every week.
Great job, Dad.
Today, guys, my guest is Charlie Jimerson, and we're throwing out the typical stuff, all the tips and things we do to help you to be more effective and productive in your jobs. And we're really focusing on UFC 273. It's going to be right here in Jacksonville. We got a heck of a card. We love talking about MMA and goodness, Charlie, let's get back to where we were. But I want to go right now and talk about let's go grassroots and let's just talk for like maybe the folks that haven't been keeping up with UFC or don't know much about it. Who are some of your favorite all-time MMA fighters or fighters that drew you into the sport?
Yeah. So my favorites, because those are two different kind of questions mm-hmm. there. So I'll parse it out. Very lawyer-like. Listen, Pete, I can't turn it off if I try it. I mean, it's just, it becomes who you are. So Daniel Cormier is a guy who I have always loved and admired. He really drew me into the sport, and he's one of my favorites. He kind of really exposed me to a more cerebral side of MMA. He's there's a lot of detail in what he does, a lot of nuance in it, and there's a science component to the MMA side, not just the health and wellness part, but literally just fight sequences, angles. Cormier is a guy who studies that. I've always liked a guy who a lot of people really hate, TJ Dillashaw. you know, besides the fact
the
that
backstory,
he,
right?
Yeah, there's besides the fact that he looks like a young Chuck Jimerson, and they would get out there and throw hands and pick fights with dudes I had no business fighting with. But he's a really technical striker. He's very fearless. He's a bit cutthroat when it comes to his advancement of his career. Has, in my opinion, my favorite entrance music right now, which is the Red Hot Chili Peppers Can't Stop, where it's like
go Pete, yeah, let's go Pete. But you got Fleas back there slap bassing that. I can't even imitate it because I can't move my mouth that fast, but he's
You're like the shirtless mysterious front man, so I don't know if you're probably more Kiedis than that.
I had issues back in the day. but Dillashaw did some. What I loved is he changed his style. Okay, he was a well-rounded wrestler and striker. And then what's his name that he beat for the championship? I thought he started fighting like him.
Yeah, Garbrandt, Cody?
No.
Or Cruz.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz is an erratic fighter, and he's moving one way. Next thing you know, he's lateral, he's just moving all. And then all of a sudden, Dillashaw kind of added that element to your strikes are coming from everywhere, weird angles.
Right.
Not your typical. I'm going to stand up and get in a karate stance or a boxer stance, or it wasn't anything like that. It's moving all around, erratic, and I thought that was such a game changer, and he killed Dominic Cruz at his own game.
Yeah, well, that happened when he moved from Team Alpha Male out in Sacramento with Uriah Faber's team, and then he moved out to Denver with Dwayne Ludwig, and he just became a precision striker. Well, if we're getting in the weeds, but a bit of a technical nuance with TJ is he's a guy who you never really get clean shots on him. He has such a tucked chin at all times. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really get exposed, and when he does, he's a tough nugget. You know, he doesn't take the big one. You know, it's kind of like great running backs in the NFL. They just never get hit hard because they know how to wiggle out of those situations, know when to fall, know how to land. TJ's the same way. He just never takes big punches, and I just really admire that. Early Conor McGregor was. I hate who Conor is now, and I don't root for him anymore. I think he's he's rotted from the inside now. Mm-hmm. Money has changed him. Mm-hmm. But early Conor was an electric factory. I mean, he was just, it was some of the best MMA and storylines slightly more casual fan. I guess I'm a somewhat of an advanced casual fan, but a fan at that. That was an all-timer of a favorite. When I look at the guys who drew me in, Dan Henderson, Chuck Liddell, Wanderlei Silva, you know, guys that are big time knockout artists. That's what got me going. But what about you, Pete? Who's your guy and who drew you in?
Well, initially, one of my faves is a guy named Don Fry.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Bush, hairy chest.
Oh, yeah. He looked like a really, really rugged Tom Selleck.
Yes.
That's going to kill you.
Yeah.
And
if he wasn't a bouncer in what's the Swayze movie, the bar brawl movie, if he wasn't, he really missed his calling.
Right. Yeah. Fry was one of my all-time favorites. And still, when I go back and look at some fights, there's one where he's just standing in the middle of the ring, and he and another guy just grabbing each other and just letting them fly. I've never seen anything like it. I've watched it probably 100 times. I'll probably watch it again tonight.
I'm looking it up when I get home.
It was amazing. it's hard to say. I kind of root for the underdog, and I've always had a preference towards the grapplers that could hammer your head in when they get you down and do it quickly. But stylistically now, I like the Street Jesus. I just like watching him. I like him talk. And who doesn't like Nate Diaz? I mean, come on. I like the crap talking. I like somebody who's going to give you two middle fingers while he's backing up, and then he slaps you.
Yeah.
And he's talking to you the whole time.
Yeah, Will Smith went to Diaz Training Academy this week, apparently. I don't know.
There you go. But, I mean, do you like the trash talkers? Because some people don't.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I grew up, I was a child of the 80s, and so that was wrestling's heyday, you know, WWE's heyday.
Oh yeah, back when it was Tony Greer and Dean Ho, or past that? Are you into which ones were you?
So I was coming of age in my wrestling fandom, like right as the heyday of the WWF, where WrestleMania 1, 2, 3.
Right. Well, Hulkamania and the Iron Sheik versus the.
All the above.
Sergeant Slaughter.
And, those are all my guys. So, you know, for me to really like you as an MMA fighter, you have to have real skills and mic skills, you know. Okay. I don't want any boring guys.
You know, this is kind of funny because I have a couple other questions and I'm going to come back to some of the things we were just talking about. But when where's the one? Which MMA fighter would you just like to punch in the face? Because he bugs you, he gets you mad, you just want to go and smack him.
I hate John Jones with a passion.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to beat up John Jones. Yeah. I mean, it's not gonna happen. There's a lot of people who've wanted to beat up John Jones, but nobody can.
Well, he ruined so many fights because of his he had no self control.
There's a movie called The Bronx Tale. It's a De Niro flick. Mm-hmm. I don't know what year it was made. Maybe it was circa 90, 91, whatever. But he says, Cologino, the greatest shame in life is wasted talent. And that's John Jones. Mm. He's wasted his entire legacy and his talent by being a knucklehead.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a really crappy human being.
Yeah.
I hate that because he could be so well regarded and have this an amazing legacy as the greatest UFC fighter of all time, which I think he is. Mm-hmm. I think he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, definitely the most talented.
He's just for everything that hustlers like you and I stand for. And we're hustlers in a good way, not a bad way.
Right.
We're hard workers. We're grinders. Yeah. We work in silence and let our actions speak. You know, John's not that guy. He's just raw talent, falls out of bed. He might be a little bit of a worker, but he's openly brags about beating people in championship fights the weekend that he was doing coke that weekend.
Yeah.
So it's just, that ain't my jam.
He put an asterisk, however you say it, next to his name for all his fights. And if you're coked up, maybe you're going to perform at a different level. He's a bad human being. And, you know, when I think of someone I want to punch in the face, you're probably going to laugh at this and you're probably not going to see it, or maybe you will. He is the all-time, the best or worst trash talker. For me, the stuff he says is so over the top and should be WWE like crazy. It's Chael Sonnen.
Chael,
sometimes
what's Chael's nickname?
It's
escaping me.
The thug, not thug, but something like
the
that.
The American gangster.
Yeah.
American gangster.
So here's this guy. Looks like he's an All American wrestler because he's an All American wrestler,
he
right?
Was, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
And he looks like a Hollywood guy, and he just talks the ruthless. Like lowbrow smack, but it's a little over the top. And some of the things he said
he's a cheeseball though. Like
Tito Ortiz when they went, and it wasn't even a UFC fight. They were fighting because they're both has-beens and, you know, they're done with the UFC, but they had a fight. And I can't even say it on this. What he said was so vulgar, but it was about Tito's wife. And if you know who Tito's married, that
Jenna Jameson.
Yeah, Jenna Jameson, ex porn star, or maybe current. I'd have no idea. But he said, the only one that's doing that tonight is your wife. And it was like, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, wow.
All the oxygen left the room, but he doesn't care. He just sits there and smug as all get out. But a couple of times he said some things I wanted to slap him. But
it's a shtick with. it was a shtick with him. I mean, that was he worked it well. He worked the wrestling scene. Now, I don't know how bad of a guy he is or isn't. I mean, jury's still out on that. He's actually got multiple felonies pending against him and lost his gig at ESPN. I'm not sure if you followed that. But Colby Covington has basically took what Chael was doing and 10X'd it. And now he's quite insufferable. So if I didn't fight John, or if I fought John and won, then I would move on to Colby
Colby next. All right. Who has the best pound-for-pound tattoos?
Tats. There's a lot. It's a lot to
Cody
choose from.
Cody Garbrandt, maybe?
You know, yeah. Well, Cody's got that sweet neck tat.
The neck tat.
Yeah, with like a diamond.
Yeah.
And, you know, he famously said when he got that neck tat, that was like a way he was dedicating himself to fighting, because once you get that, there's no going back. Like, you ain't getting a day job.
Yeah, it's like, I'm done. No more corporate job.
Even Pete the job guy can't get you a job without him.
Sorry, buddy. I'm going to have to ask you to wear a turtleneck or work somewhere else.
I like Platinum Mike Perry.
Okay. Yeah.
He's got a tattoo around his abdomen that says God's gift.
Nice.
Which is outstanding. And then he's got like the face tat of Platinum and like a sweet cursive like above his right eye. So yeah, so I'm going Platinum.
I'm gonna describe a fighter to you and see if you can tell me who it is, because I can't think of his name. He's a relatively new fighter. He's tall, very very, very thin, but he's got power in both hands. Gangly kind of looking guy, kind of gangstery, multicolor hair. It doesn't matter what color.
Oh, Sean O'Malley.
That's it. He's got some tats rolling. Sugar Shane O'Malley.
Yeah. So that's a guy who could fight Volk at 145. Yeah. I watched that guy. He could very well come up. Yeah, he's got some sweet tats, and he's got the rainbow hair, which is, I don't believe we've done that yet.
Yeah, so. No.
Yeah, those are new ones.
I think that is a new one.
God's gift, Mike Perry. Yeah. My favorite Mike Perry story was he was fighting, and he famously had fired all his coaches, and his girlfriend was like his corner
gal.
That's
always a good move. Let me fire all the coaches. Bring my girlfriend in the corner. All right, go ahead.
His girlfriend, like in between like rounds, would like pat his head and be like, "You're doing good, baby. Like, that's good."
Yeah. Know,
like, but he was walking out, and he thought that there was a certain song that was going to be going out, but they confused it. There was some confusion, and so he ended up going out to Beyonce's Halo.
No. No.
And Mike Perry just ran with it.
Just danced his way in like this is happening. I love it.
He just ran with it. I mean, God, you got to give him credit, that guy.
That's the stuff I love. When you're faced with that, you know, you just go with it. All right, we fast forward 3 to 5 years. Who in the current UFC roster are going to be the biggest fighters in the world? Who are the big, high-potential people, the big draws, the one everybody needs to know about now and start watching if they're not?
Khamzat Chimaev, you know, tonight, he's going to be the 170 champ. He's going to beat Kamaru Usman, who is the best fighter in the world. I think he smashes Kamaru Usman.
You don't even like Kamaru Usman.
No, I love him. I think he's a great fighter.
Oh.
No, I mean, I think he's...
I didn't think you... For some reason, I thought you thought you didn't like him that much. No,
no, he's. I think he's a stud, you know. Oh. I mean, I...
Boring fights.
Marty Snoozman?
Yeah.
No, I respect Kamaru Usman. I think he's the best fighter in the world right now.
He's incredible.
But I think Chimaev's going to take him over. He just needs to get some proving experience. There's a guy at 205 who has potential. I want to see how he does in his next fight. Jiří Procházka. I think he could be a 205 champ. Izzy Adesanya at 185 is he's a stud. I mean, the style bender. He's
amazing.
He's a great, great striker. I wonder if he has sustainable knockout power though.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dude at 155 is going to be a fun division.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you watched last week with Paddy Pimblett.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I watched that.
Yeah. That was something else. That was as fun of a card as I have seen maybe since last year in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it was great. What's the lady that right before him?
Meatball Molly McCann.
Yeah. It was wonderful to watch. Paddy draws the crowd. Of course, he's very commercial. He's got the hair and he's
Paddy. Oh, Paddy the baddie.
It's great. But he's like, people like that are very good for the sport. And I know there was a lot going on post-fight about his purse being really small compared to some of the others. But guess what? Okay, he's only had, like, what, two or three fights in the UFC. Was that his second or third? I don't know.
That was his, I think that might have been his third UFC fight.
He just got internationally plastered everywhere, and everybody sees how commercial he is. Here come the endorsements. Here come the paydays. And he might be going, oh, I only made all in maybe 100K, a little more, a little less. Who knows? Okay. But guess what, Patty? Your day's coming, my man, and you're going to get paid because people want to see Patty.
Now, he's millions of page views on the internet. Yep. I mean, Patty's already drawn. Patty is going to have, so long as he wins, I mean, you got to deliver in the UFC.
Right.
But he's on a McGregor-like trajectory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say I agree 100%. And you know what's interesting? He got tagged. Did you see that? Like right in the first second or two, it was like, bam.
Patty's got a big old chin that he holds out really. Patty's chin's up high, and he's gonna learn that lesson the hard way.
Right, right. I think he learned it there, but he is a well-rounded striker, grappler, submission artist. Mm-hmm. He's exciting. He's fun to hear talk. I'm glad you brought him up because he's who else? Who else we got to look out for?
Well, I mean, those are the guys that kind of stand out. I mean, watch what Justin Gaethje does. Justin Gaethje wins the 155 title, I think, against Oliveira. And Gaethje's got staying power. He's still, right now, my favorite fighter.
Oliveira! I mean, he's the tale of two fighters. There was the old Charles Oliveira and the new Charles Oliveira.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now, he just seems unbeatable. He's a scary fighter.
Well, everybody's scary until Justin Gaethje brings him to deep waters.
Gaethje with that low leg kick and hard coming at you and busyness.
Wow.
And he's fun to watch. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch.
That would be fight of the year type of fight.
All right, we're running down on time. I got enough time for one more quick question. What would you do? Charlie Jimerson, lawyer, but still street badass from back in the day. What would you do to intimidate your opponent?
I would punch Bruce Buffer right in the face when I'm entering the ring.
Did you hear who he punched in the face?
No.
I wish
Bruce,
I knew.
Yeah, Bruce is throwing hands?
I swear, there's a story. Dana White broke it up. They were in an elevator with another fighter, and the guy pushed him. And Bruce Buffer punched him in the face.
Let's go, Bruce.
And Dana White had to break it up. I swear that happened. We've got to look it up. We've got to Google it.
I hope he didn't, like, rip his coat because he's got the best coat game in the biz.
Right. He does. He's got beauty. All right, listen. Right now, this part of the show is one of my favorites. This is where we get a Boston update from Boston Danny. Guys, if you have a special someone you want to recognize, maybe wish them a happy birthday, happy anniversary. Maybe they made your workday a little bit brighter and you'd like to recognize them for it, send me an email, pete@petethejobguy.com. I'll take your email. I'll give it to Boston Danny. Boston Danny will give your special person a wicked piss a shout out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston Update with Boston Danny.
Hey, Jacksonville, Danny here with your Northern Update. Well, it's warming up around here. He's getting used to the nice weather, but then the next thing you know, it's 19 degrees out, literally. You know, it's going to, you know, 38s for highs, 40s, but it warms up. We get some 60s, but that brings the rain. Comes up there from Florida, a lot of moisture, but it's nice. April showers, they bring their May flowers, so, you know, the Bruins, and it also brings the playoffs. So the Bruins and the Celtics, they're in the hunt. You know, we're still looking for it. A lot of things. March Madness, good luck, folks. You know, we root along with that one. So, you know, Boston, so plays them any first. I told you all the time, you know, I love my hometown, but Massachusetts too. So, you know, we also invent a Brooklyn man named King Gillette. He invented the disposable razor with a Fortune 500 company. You know, he did that in 1901. Now it's publicly traded, you know, and the microwave, it was invented accidentally in the 40s by Boston Percy Spencer. The chocolate chip recipe, Ruth Wakefield of the Toll House down in nearby Whitman. Marshmallow fluff came to us from Somerville across the Charles River. Don't forget, Mark Zuckerberg also started Facebook while a student at Harvard, and an MIT scientist invented the World Wide Web. So we got your shout outs, folks. You know, I like to mangle them up and give it to you. So send them to me. I'll give them to you. We'll put them on the air. So I want to wish a wicked happy birthday to Christopher and Carol and Noreen. That comes from the entire family. They love you, and happy 18th birthday. Way to go, kids. Happy birthday, Lenny Alvaleo, Misty Jackmore, Kelly and Ray Benjamino, from your favorite job guy. And a special shout-out to one of his all-time friends, me. Nope, not his birthday. Just wanted to thank him for his friendship for so many years. Thank you for going on this journey with me. There you go, Peter. You did it all right. Snuck that one in. I never read them. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacksonville, have a good time. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you, Boston Danny. And guys, you did it. You listen to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy and Charlie Jimerson. Thank you for being on the show and talking all things UFC with me today.
Pleasure's all mine, my friend.
All right, we'll see you again.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys, go out there and get them.